meekness, and with gladness. As we hear your word, we'll walk in the light of it. We'll get better. We'll get improved upon as we hear your word. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at we the brethren. We started that last week. We the brethren. So we'll take some things again we said last week, and then we'll push ahead. Glory to God. We the brethren. Matthew 28. Verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Okay? And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you said, the word there to teach is to make disciples. The first word teach in verse 19 is to make disciples. Now he says, how, what will you teach? I said, teaching them to observe. I would say a critical point of discipleship is that disciples should be able to observe. Observation is very vital. Observation is very vital. A disciple must observe. 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 If you can observe well, if you don't observe well, you can walk into error. So you have to observe. There are things that you observe those who are ahead of you do. Your pastors, you observe them. Amen. You observe how they conduct themselves. You observe how they preach. Also how they write. I think I'm going to show some of us how to write. A couple of, maybe by next week. I'll just give you a sample. I'll put it up on the screen so that you see how it speaks, how to take notes. Amen. You observe it. How people write. Amen. Take notes in church. Some people take notes in church with bullet points. Glory to God. You should observe how to write. So let's go further. Let's go further. So in observing too, you should also observe how the writers of the New Testament handled what we call today the Old Testament books. Which is what I said is not called books. It's not called Old Testament books, right? But let's observe how they handled it. You must observe also. Glory to God. Now, how did they handle it? We said it is, they called it scriptures. They called it scriptures. John 5:39, Jesus will say, you search the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, from a child you've known the holy scripture. So it's called holy. Holy, sacred writings. It doesn't say all scriptures. We saw that last week. All scriptures there will be, we're referring not to all the books that they have in existence, but what, that which is called sacred writings. Right? So he's referring to Genesis down to Malachi. He calls them sacred writings. Amen. They are sacred. Glory to God. He said they are given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So they are called scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. We said they are also called Moses and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Luke 24 from verses 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24. Amen. Luke 24, verse 44. He said, these are the words I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses. This is that in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. So when he used the word law of Moses, he referring to Moses' five books. Law of Moses. Amen. It's called Law of Moses. I will say the word law there doesn't mean do's and don'ts alone. It also is used for what? Doctrine. So we can say the doctrines of Moses. Did you see that? Amen. The teachings of Moses. Of Moses. Hallelujah. It's called the law and the prophets, scriptures. Hallelujah. Therefore, calling it Old Testament books, we said, was not God that inspired it. It wasn't called Old Testament books in the Old Testament books. How about that? It wasn't called Old Testament books in the Testament books. Now, that wasn't called Old Testament books. By the way, that was the New Testament. We saw that. Jeremiah chapter 1, what we called Old Testament, actually spoke of the New Testament. Jeremiah 31, 31. We were here last week, and then we saw it. We said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So we explained this. He said, a new covenant. He said, that word new there is a word for renew. God is saying he will renew his covenant. Now watch it. In answer verse 10, it says, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. So, did you see that? Although I was an husband to them, said the Lord. Did you see that? So, he's saying, what did they do to his covenant? They break it. Did you see that? They break his covenant. The British covenant. But he said that is the covenant that he will renew. Did you see that? Amen. It's the same covenant. So we saw it in Hebrews quickly. When Hebrews last week, just show us a bit of this and then we'll move ahead. We have this already in some of our series. Hebrews chapter 8. It says, I'll read from verse 7. Say, for the first covenant, say, if the first covenant had been faultless, say, there should be no place of salt for the second. Now, he looked at him, there was salt with the covenant. No. But what does he find for? He said, for finding fault with them. This is 8. With them. So, the fault wasn't with the covenant. The fault was with them. Isn't that? He said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, I will make a renewed, let's send the word new to renewed, a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Did you see that? Did you see that? Renew. Renew. So what God does is that he renews his covenant. So there's nothing, so what is called new covenant, right? What's called new covenant is not books. No. It's not books. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. What is called new covenant is not books, but rather faith in God's covenant. Faith in God's promise. And Old Testament, which you find in verses 13 of that Hebrews 8, was referring to their act of unbelief. So Old Testament is not books, but what you find within the scriptures. Did you see that? Amen. So I ask the question, Old Testament, is it Genesis to Malachi or can be found in Genesis to Malachi? Can be found in Genesis to Malachi, but it is not Genesis to Malachi. New Covenant, is it Genesis to Malachi or can be found in Genesis to Malachi? Did you see that? So separate it. Separate the books. Old Testament is not books. Old Testament is what? An action of the people in unbelief. Was what is called Old Covenant. Hope you're following me. Or Old Testament. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's look at the second one. How do they handle the Old Testament books? Let's observe again. We said, little interpreters have other books in circulation. Amen. In Matthew down to Revelation, they had other books in circulation. So it was not just Genesis to Malachi that they had in their world. They had other novels, they had other books. Right? But their knowledge of God was restricted to Genesis down to Malachi. What are you hearing me? Their knowledge of God was restricted to Genesis down to Malachi. What are you following me? So in 2 Timothy 3:16, that said, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. I mean, from a child you've known the Holy Spirit, you're able to make the wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. This thing sounds absurd, no? Amen. Amen. So, you don't, therefore, you don't know God by other books. You don't. Okay, follow me. Come on, what's happening now? Amen. I'm practically shouting. The other battery is gone. Get me another battery. Where's the other mic? Get me the other mic. When you're giving me mic, always give me the one that's A. Then increase this one now. Increase it. Amen. What's happening now? This is very low. Are you hearing it? Or are you hearing me? Amen. Can you hear me? Me or death? Me, right? Amen. I know when it's loud. Can you work on the master volume? See if we can go to the master volume. And then you release the other part. Hope you're not recording it. You pause your recording. It's better off now. Amen. It's better off. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. So, we said that other later interpreters of Moses, what they did is that they had other writings. They had other books. But their knowledge of God was restricted to what? The 39 books. You see that? Someone, I told you guys on Thursday, someone chatted me up and was asking me a question. Something that I spoke to those in Wima about in our last two classes. And I told them something about some things within the southeast and then how that we need to pray about it. Someone called me from there. I was telling me about how prominent ministers now say Christianity is not the only way to serve God. There are Muslims and you can use different ways to serve God. And I laughed. Right? And I laughed just a day before. I saw a video from the southeast where everybody carried cane. You know cane? Carried cane. It made rounds in social media. Carried cane. And the preacher there was speaking Igbo. Now said, my destiny helper, why have you not helped me? Today, receive sense to hear me, to help me. And he started flogging the floor. In the name of Jesus, Pia. I saw it and I was ashamed. I don't think they would have seen that from the Bible. You see that? Where are they learning from? So he chatted me up and then he said that, what is my take about the fact that Christianity is not the only way to get to God, that there are other means. I wanted to type the response, but I said no, it doesn't need typing. Right? Because this is somebody that has been in our meetings here in Lagos. And mine is in the east. So I picked up my phone and I called him. I needed him to hear it absolutely from my mouth, not writing. And I told him, I said, that is a lie. And I spoke God's word, right? I said God's word to him, and I read out scriptures to him, right? Jesus said, I am the way. That alone is sufficient, right? Amen? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, whosoever believes in him, do you get me? And I was very direct, very absolute, that he cannot be mistaken. Glory to God. There are other people, there are other religions, but there's only one way to get to God. There's only one way to hear God. There's only one way to be called his own. There's only one way to get into God's plan, purpose, and pursuit. That is in Christ. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. So they have different materials in your world. They have different gods that people serve and different rituals for different gods. Hope you're hearing me. But you know what? They restricted their knowledge of God. Now this is not just worship of God, their knowledge of God. You know there are different things. But their knowledge of God, not just worship. Maybe worship is included, but their knowledge of God is restricted to the 39 books. Glory to God. You restrict it to the 39 books. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We also said they handled it as materials profitable for spiritual good. Right? Right? Profitable for spiritual good. All spiritual given by the Spirit of God. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, number four. Get into what we're doing. He said they were writing that their materials should replace the Old Testament books. Right? They didn't write that which is Latin interpreters. In person of Jesus, Jesus didn't write any book, but in person of Jesus and the apostles, right, they didn't write that their words or their materials later on would replace the 39 books. No. Hallelujah. But rather, they were writing that you read their materials and you read their materials with the scriptures. Put it like this, that their words and materials will be better understood with the scriptures. Therefore, we can say it's the 39 books that gives light to their words. The 39 books gives explanation to their words. The 39 books really is the interpreter of their words. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. So their words would be interpreted with the 39 books or understood properly with the 39 books. Hallelujah. Therefore, the 39 books, what we call scriptures and Old Testament books rather, will be the context of their writing. Amen. The context of their writing will be the 39 books. The context of their writing will be the 39 books. Hallelujah. So, take this in your head. Take this down. They were not writing to dismiss Moses. They were not dismissing Moses. No. Amen. They were not dismissing Moses. Jesus in John 5, verse 45. John 5, 45. Hear this. He says, do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one which accuses you, Moses in whom you trust. So we look at that word accuse. Category. There is one who accuses you. Now, we said, he's not saying Moses is the accuser of brethren. I said, take note of the two key things that Jesus was referring to in that context. Verse 46, he says, you believe Moses, you believe before he wrote. Right? For if you believe not his writing, how would you believe that? So two things are very vital. With the context of what Jesus is saying is that faith and what writings. Very vital here. Amen. Faith and writing. If you believe Moses, you believe what he wrote. If you believe not his writing, how would you believe my words? You see that? That means what Jesus was saying here is concerning faith and what was written. So when he says, do not think I will accuse you, the accusation there will deal with what faith and what is written. So So he's not saying Moses is an accuser of brethren. Rather, what he's saying is that there's one which accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. He's saying Moses has missed of it. So that's why he now said, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote concerning me. Did you see that? So that means Moses' writing is what he's referring to. So when he said, do not think there's one which accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust, he's saying Moses has risen of this accusation. Did you see that? So he's telling you that the accusation for unbelief, for not believing, has been written by Moses. Hope you're following that. The accusation for not believing has been written down by Moses. So it wasn't tagging Moses back or black. No, it's only saying, or another wasn't dismissing Moses. He says he's not going to write another new accusation. Moses has written it. So when he says that, what is the context of that word? Deuteronomy 30, quickly. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15. Let's see that accusation. Verses 15. It says, watch to Deuteronomy 30, 15. It says, see, I set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And I command you this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandment and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. Did you see? So he says, I said before thee, life and what? Life and good, and death and evil. Now I say life and good, it means life that is good. Did you see that? And death which is evil. So but there's the tree, they ate the tree of good, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. No. That I've explained that when you hear the word tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it means the tree of the knowledge that seems good but evil. Did you see that? Understand that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Go with that. Remember, when Eve ate it, she said, it seems good, it looks good. Right? Right? Good, but it's evil. Don't forget, don't miss that one. And that deals with deception. Amen. Deception of who? The serpent. But that's not what we're dealing with today. So, just get back to this. He says, life and good. Now, in essence, for you to have the life, look at what he says in verse 16. He says, love the Lord thy God. Is that faith in God? Is that faith in God? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then look at what the evil is. Say, if thy heart turn away so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Did you see the, can you see it? Can you see it? Thou shalt surely perish. That is the evil. That is the death and evil. Thou shalt surely perish. Accusation. Just that judgment for unbelief. So the word category is the word for judgment for unbelief. Can you see the judgment? Perish. So Jesus will now say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Did you see that? When Jesus says should not perish, Jesus is reading from Deuteronomy 30, 15 into 17. Amen. Love the world, that he gave us, that whosoever believes, did you see the belief? Life and good. Did you see that? Should not perish. So that means if you don't believe, that is the accusation there. So Jesus is saying, I'm not writing any new accusation to you. There's one that has been written already. By whom? Moses, in whom you trust. Do you see that? What are you following that? Is that clear? Is that clear? So is Jesus saying Moses is accuser? I've heard someone say that. He said, the word, the Greek word for accusation is category. The same Greek word. Use of serpent. Use of the serpent. Use of the devil in Revelation, the accuser of the brethren. The person is not wrong, though. It's the same Greek word. But he's not saying... he's not saying Moses is the Satan. Because the person will say, that means the Satan in Scripture is Moses. Ebanyu, how did you arrive at that point? Did you see that? That's not true. That's not true. Even Moses himself would be like, bros, calm down. Amen. Jesus never said so. Amen. What Jesus has said is that Moses wrote of that unbelief. I mean, the judgment for unbelief. And I'm not going to write a new one. It has been written for you already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see the background? So now, in Deuteronomy 30, now, like I said to us, every latter interpreter is interpreting a what? A previous writer. Right? Every latter book is interpreting a previous book. Right? So now, what is the context of Deuteronomy 30 verses 16 into 17? Can you see Adam and Eve here? Can you see Adam and Eve here? Can you see Adam and Eve in Deuteronomy 30? Can you see it? Can you see Cain and Abel there? Can you see? So what is the perishing? Away from God's presence. Did you see that? Did you see that? Away from God's presence. So you have to read that way. So the background, therefore, of what Jesus wrote as the accusation of Moses, or said to be the accusation of Moses, is Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve. All will find it in Deuteronomy chapter 30, 15 to 17. I mean 15 to 18. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following me. Do you understand that? Amen. Amen. So, therefore, what would you see? Every latter interpreter of Moses, were not dismissing Moses. What they were doing, what you have in their words and in their writing will be the echoes of Moses. You'll find the echoes of Moses in their words, the echoes of Moses in their writing. Moses keep echoing in their writings. Amen. It was not a dismissal, but an echo of Moses. Last week, we were in Matthew 5. Let's get back to Matthew 5. When Jesus said, Jesus is contradicting Moses. I said, no, he wasn't. Matthew 5, 43. I'll get back to 43. Let's get to verse 38. He says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." Now, this is Leviticus. We were here last week, right? The context of this word is Leviticus 24, verses 20. Let's quickly get to Leviticus 24, 20. Let's put that side by side. It says breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him. You see that? Amen. He answered verse 1, he that killeth a beast shall restore it, and he that killeth a man shall be put to death. So that is the word eye for an eye is not literal. It is a figure of speech to mean, if a man takes someone's beast, if he carries someone's thing, return it. Did you see that? Amen. If one carries someone's thing, he says, return it. If you've killed it, go and buy it. Did you see that? Amen. 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 So that means he's saying you will be judged, or an eye for an eye means the same measure in which you've taken something, you'll be judged that way. Right? Right? Now this was in opposition, or this was in contrast to what they had in their world. What do they have in their world? Now, I try as much as I can to give us the context of their world. Now, in their world, what they have in their world is a kind of system where you, when you take what belongs to someone else, you are killed. You see that? You are killed. That was their world near the Asian Near Eastern culture. You are killed. Amen. The punishment for taking what belongs to someone is for you to be put to death. That was what they have in their world. So when Moses came and said, eye for an eye, we saw it last week to be, that is Moses teaching them law. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Moses is teaching them law. So the context of it is law. I said that last week. I said, Moses is stepping down what was obtainable in their world. And it is called love. He stepped it down for them. Amen. He stepped it down for them. So, because Jesus understands Moses' teaching and Moses' message, he tells them, He tells them in Matthew. So Moses and Jesus are saying the same thing. What did Jesus say in Matthew? He said, you've beheld an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, why did Moses say eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? Is what? Is what? Love. So the interpretation, listen now, the interpretation of eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth for Moses' writing is what? Love. Right? That's interpretation. Now Jesus is now going to what? Apply it to his audience. Here's what he said. He now says in verse 39, but I said to you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other. What he said is, you that have been offended, right? So that means, for example, it's love. Sister XYZ stole my Lamborghini. So I'm not pressing. No, it's eye for an eye. Say she now drove it. Okay, let me use the common one. Could be gave his car to mechanic. And the mechanic told him he wanted to go to Ladipo to go and buy something. And now had an accident at Ibadan Expressway. Mechanic alive, car scattered beyond repair. And he comes back to say, sir, I had an accident. Does that sound like, no, it doesn't. I'm just saying. So, Kubina said, no, an eye for an eye. So that is the least I can go. That is love. Did you see that? An eye for an eye. Go and get me another Bugatti. Go and get me another Lamborghini. Chicken, now. I don't want any other. Yeah. Sir, please now, please buy one. Alright. So Jesus now comes, that says, you that you are offended. Right? Now, when he says slap you on one cheek, somebody tried that with me years back. And then I'm slapping, the person slap me. This was years back, I can't do that again. And I get the person, whoop! And the person don't turn like this on me. Ah! Free food! I say, yeah! He said, they say, you slap me on one cheek, and you turn the other cheek, I say, okay, no problem. Bad! Let me turn again. Amen. Amen. But that's not what he's not saying, turn your cheek. He's saying, you that you're offended, let it go. That's love. Amen. But then you don't press, you know, we'll go to the courts. We'll go and get justice. That is love. I love you, that is why I want you to pay me back. If not, I'll kill you. Did you see it? But Jesus said, no, love is fulfilled in this. Let it go. Amen. So is Jesus and Moses saying the same thing? Are they saying the same thing? Yeah, they're saying the same thing. Why? I'll try not to talk about unifiers now, because we're not there. But when you look at Jesus' world and look at Moses' world, right? What is love in Moses' world is an eye for an eye. So Jesus puts it in his own world to show you what love is, to turn the other cheek. Are you following me? That is love. So Jesus wasn't contradicting Moses. He's actually explaining Moses to his world. Applying Moses' words in his world. Amen. You ask yourself, what is Moses talking about love? This is love in Moses' world. So what is love in my world today? Did you see that? Then I apply it that way. Hope you understand that. Hallelujah. Furthermore, to understand what Jesus is saying, you go to verses 40. Look at what he says. He says, if any man sue thee at the law to take their coat, let him have thy cloak also. we are coming here. It's part of this teaching. We'll be brethren. Amen. Amen. Now, so I shall compare thee to go a man. Go with him twine. Give to him that accept thee. Right? And from he that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has said, but you have heard, it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Right? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. So what Jesus has done here, in verse 33, he said, love thy enemies, love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies. He has expounded for them what his neighbor is. He has expounded for them who a neighbor is. We'll get to see that. Who is a neighbor? that he said, your neighbor also include that which is thy enemy. Did you see that? Amen. And he now tells them who the enemy is. The enemy is the devil. Did you see that? Amen. Because in their world, they view another country, another people, nation as enemy. But Jesus said, no. Love your neighbor. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute thee. So who does Jesus now call enemy? The devil. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So you see, the context of what he was talking about here is love. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then he urged them in verse 38. Right? For you to see what he's teaching them about and what Moses was writing. He now said, be a prophet, even as the Heavenly Father is prophet. So, what has Jesus done? He has shown you the basis of Moses' writing, which is love. And that was what he has done. Love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, typically, Jesus, just like other interpreters of Moses, right? Just like other interpreters of Moses, we will have also the apostles. What they were doing, they were applying Moses to their world. They had, what they were doing is actually an application of Moses to their world. And for you to apply, you must have first of all interpreted it in Moses' world, in the world of the writer. There's that. That's to interpret it. What Jesus has done is to see the interpretation of what Moses said to be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is love. This is that is the interpretation, love. So Jesus is taking it and is applying it to his world. What is love in my world today? Right? What is love in my world today? It means I will not go for a retaliation. I will not go, right? I will rather overlook and walk away. I would rather pray for my enemies. There is that. I would rather pray for them and not have enemies with people. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Jesus has expounded what Moses has said. Expound means he has interpreted. Dia menu. Explained it to his world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was never found dismissing Moses. Matthew 22, verse 36. He says, Master, they came to me asking him, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the fourth and great commandment. And the second is like unto you, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments lies what? The law and the prophets. Amen. So they asked him the great commandments of the law. And we said, what that means is, what is the doctrine of Moses? That's what they asked him. What is the doctrine? What is the doctrine of Moses? Moses is writing. And that is where you find what we call the message of scripture. What is the doctrine of Moses? Because Moses is the model of writing in scripture. What is the doctrine of scripture? Jesus said, it is love. Love. He says, you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That is faith in God. Love. Love towards God, which is faith in God. It will then produce love thy neighbor as thyself. Love for all men. Amen. Then the second, dutros. The second is like unto it. That is the second, which is that which will proceed from the person. This is that. The second, that is the love for God. Faith in God will produce love for all men. Amen. 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 So when he says love towards God, what does it mean? Love towards God. The context of that is Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. So this is where Jesus read from. Deuteronomy 6. Let's see what it is. Deuteronomy 6. I'll start from verses 4. He said, "Hear, O Israel, if you read Mark 12, it starts from here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one law. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 6, and this word which I command you this day shall be in thy heart. Did you see that? Amen. Shall be where? In thy heart. So that means, the love of the Lord thy God is in the heart. That is faith. Did you see that? Look at chapter 10. Verses 12. Deuteronomy 10, 12. There it is. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. To keep the commandment of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go ahead. It says, to keep the commandment of the Lord, and his statutes, which are commanding thee for thy good. Behold, the heavens and the heavens of heavens is the Lord, and thy God. The earth also with all that, the earth also with all that there is. So only the Lord had the delight in thy father to love them and to choose their seed after them, even you above all the people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more sickness. Did you see that? Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. You know what it means? So when it talks about love the Lord thy God, is dealing with faith. This is that faith in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is what produces love for all men. Love for all men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when you hear, love thy neighbor as thyself, what does it mean? Some people have said, it is, Jesus said, love thy neighbor as yourself. Don't love your neighbor more than yourself. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have heard that? Say, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't love your neighbor more than yourself. That is the definition of selfishness. I said that to someone, self-love. Self-love is selfishness. You don't know? You don't know? Self-love is selfishness, and it is working in the flesh. I've never said that to someone, self-love. Selfie. Self-love. Sun kiss. What again? Moon bite. That's a self-love. I love me for me. Amen. Amen. That is selfishness rebranded. You don't know? The Bible never says you should love your neighbor. Okay, let me put it like this. The Bible never said that you should not love your neighbor above yourself. Did I say it right? I never said not love your neighbor above yourself. No. When it says love your neighbor as you love yourself, I've explained that to you. It means the way you love yourself, right? How many of you love, how many of you hate yourself? Do you hate yourself? Eh? Do you hate yourself? Bible says no one yet hated himself. Do you hate yourself? Come and jump downstairs. That's why you hate yourself. Carry hammer and hit your head. You don't hate yourself. Now the way you love yourself, right? Now what? When Jesus said, when the Bible says love your neighbor as you love yourself, it means that love will happen. This is how the Greek put it. The Hebrew. It means that way you love yourself. Now take yourself. Let's say this is love. This is me. This is how I love myself. Now remove myself away from it. So I take myself out of it. Carry my neighbors and put under. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So that means if you love yourself above, you love your neighbor above. The way you love yourself is the same way you should love your neighbor. How it means? You say, don't love your neighbor above yourself. If you love yourself above, take your neighbor to above. Amen? Amen? That's what it means. Ah, Pastor, it's the truth. That is what Scripture teaches. Amen? No greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. And that is love. That is love. That is the definition of love. So it will be easy to mock. That may be Jesus. Oh. My name is Deborah. I'm not Jesus at all. No. You are mocking the faith. Don't say things like that. Because that is exactly what Jesus teaches you to do. Okay, hear me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let me just play a house of words. Someone else say, will you catch a grenade for me? And I say, me? Do I look like Bruno Mars? Or do I resemble Jesus in your eyes? Amen. No, don't say things like that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. What I mean is that you can go an extra mile for someone. Amen. So, what produces this? The love for God. Love for God. Then you become selfless. Someone asked me one time, why am I this selfless towards people? I said, well, something gave birth to me. The love of God gave birth to me. I can go and extra mile for people. Yeah, I can. Because scripture teaches me to. Going extra mile for people, is it something you just do? Sometimes it's hot, you know, but it's a decision. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. Amen. I just feel like. It's not just, well, sometimes you don't feel like, but you are compelled to. Love is not a feeling. Love is a character. Do you feel like a man before you know you're a man? No. You're a man because you're a man. You have to feel something in your brain. Amen. Amen. Love is our nature. This is who we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the love for God produces this. So, how we walk towards one another shows our love for Christ. We'll get to see a whole lot of things in the course of this teaching. Amen. So, when you ask, then I ask the question in my notes, who is a neighbor? You say, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a question people don't are yet to understand. Who is a neighbor? A neighbor is somebody that is staying by my room. the next door to my house. That's my neighbor. Is that not what you were taught? I say in T1 flat 14. T1 flat 13 is my neighbor. T1 flat 12 is my neighbor. T1, right? Right? Amen. That's my neighbor. Who is a neighbor? Now that word neighbor is from the Greek. That word neighbor is from the Greek word pleson. Oh yeah. Pause. The Greek word for neighbor is the word pleson. P-L-E-S-O-N. P-L-E-S-O-N. It's used for what is close by. What is close by? What is like a near place? Someone or things that are close by is called pleson, near. Now, the word pleson is used for countrymen, people from the same country. Look at Acts 7. We'll get back here. Acts 7. Verse 23. Pleson, neighbor. Acts 7, 23. When he says, this is Stephen. He says, and when he was full 40 years old, which is Moses, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that by his hand God would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day, he showed himself unto them as they strove. And he would have set them, at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you do wrong to one another? And they were having conflict, two Israelites in Egypt. I said, you guys are brethren. And guess what they responded? But he that did his neighbor wrong. So, he that did his neighbor wrong, are they not the two Israelites? Right? He that did his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, who made the ruler and judge over us? Will thou kill me as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Did you see? So, Neighbor is used for what? A fellow countryman. Is that? A fellow countryman. Neighbor. Very vital. So is it for a countryman also? Let's see other places where you find the word neighbor used. Right? Romans 13:9. He said, for this thou commit adultery. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be a false witness, thou shalt not convert. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, the law is summed up in this, love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. It says here, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The word fulfilled, the word plero, plero, is fulfilled. Amen. Amen. The sum up, the sum totality of what Moses was writing is love. That's what he's saying. Love. And he says thy neighbor as thyself. So the question is, who is a neighbor? Who is a neighbor? So let's see how Jesus would define neighbor for us. Let's see how Jesus would define neighbor for us. Are you ready? Glory to God. In Matthew 19, before Matthew 22, where he said, love your neighbor. Matthew 19, verses 19. Look at what Jesus said. Are you with me? Amen. Verse 19, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus met a rich man that was self-righteous. Here's what the man said. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What lacketh I? Yes. Did you see that? He says, I kept this, I kept that. Jesus didn't love thy neighbor as yourself. He said, Do you get it? I've kept all this. Then look at what Jesus... Now, Jesus is not about to expound love your neighbor as yourself. Look, hear what he said in verse 6 first. Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And the young man heard these things and went sorrowfully, for he had great possession. So Jesus said, go and sell all you have, come and follow me. This is that? Amen. This is somebody that said he loves his neighbor, and yet he couldn't sell. So, Jesus expanded the use of the word neighbor to those which are in need of your help. He says, sell your possession and give to the poor. The poor is used for the needy. Give it to the poor. Did you see that? So your neighbor are those who are in need of help. That's what Jesus has said there. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that means you see someone who is poor, right? Who is in need, you take from your world, from what you have, and then you give. Right? Glory to God. Amen. Some people aren't, you know, it's vital we understand what this is. Some people, okay, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Amen. Amen. Let's see Luke 10. Are you Luke 10? 25. What does Jesus call neighbor? Who does Jesus call neighbor? And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. This is a Pharisee. I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Did you see that? This is a Pharisee. So that means the Pharisees were not ignorant of this. Amen. They were not ignorant. Glory to God. And he said to him, thou answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Did you see that? Do. You yield yourself, say, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Yeah? So what they had is theory. They didn't even know the religious, but this is what, this is some total of what Moses said. But they don't even know what love the Lord thy God with all their heart is. They just have theory in their head. Glory to God. He was a beast and you leave. He now asked a question because he really didn't know what it is about. Amen. Did you see that? He now asked a question. But he willing to justify himself. Said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my person, my neighbor? And Jesus answered, said, a certain man, let's read this together. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by one. He passed on the other side. A priest. He passed on. That is, he went the other way. He saw him half dead. He went this way. And likewise, a Levite. He was at the place. Came and looked at him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, all are following me. As he journeyed, came where he was. Now the Samaritan had Samaria are those who have broken away from Israel. And what they believe in, Moses' first five books. They don't believe in the rest. They had conflict with it. So they are they've broken away from, right? The Jews. Amen. Broken away. So the Samaritan. So the Samaritan is treated like they don't matter. Right? Who are they? Hope you're following me. Now, here's what he said. A Samaritan. And Jesus brought that consciously. As he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine. It was not anointing oil, it's medicine. Oil and wine is a short form for medicine. And set him, like first aid, and set him up on his own beast, which is his donkey or his horse, and brought him to an inn, an hospital, and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pennies, which is money, and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spends more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Did you see that? Which man of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Who is the neighbor? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. So who is a neighbor? A neighbor is one who is in need of help. One who is in need of your mercy. So Jesus defined neighbor as one who is in need of your help. Who is in need of your help? Amen. Amen. And he brings in 2 people who by tribes, Jews and Samaritans, they had conflict. And he said, inasmuch that they are in conflict, yet he isn't neighbor to that guy. Do you see that? Amen. So that means Jesus will walk who a neighbor is for us. Who a neighbor is. So the believer should walk in love towards everyone. Walk in love towards everyone. If someone needs your help, don't start qualifying them by tribe or religion. In a world and a country like ours where they try to divide people by tribe, don't play that game. Okay, don't play that game with them. Don't play that game with people. We are evil association of what rubbish. What's the meaning of that? Amen. Some people, believers, will not say, ah, a near omo oduduan. Omo oduduan. Amen. What's the meaning of that? Now, that plays sentiments around how you help. Someone is in need of your help. Someone comes to meet you. Please, I need help. I need help. And you could see the person really needs help. And I say, I've seen that before. I'm going to say it. And I was seriously bitter. It's coming from a Christian. He saw someone begging on the road. Person was asking for help. You know what he said? This was after Buhari became president. I'm going to say it because I felt heartbroken. Person said, when you were voting Buhari, you don't know. Shebi, no voter. Let's say Baba come and help you. Come on. I didn't have money that day. I would have given that guy. I felt bad. Because that's not what scripture teaches us. Amen. That's not what scripture teaches us. Glory to God. Some people get hospitable to few people. Yeah, some other people don't work a lot because of what others have done to them. But the reason, see, let me tell you, people will always misuse, will always try to misuse your work in love. Amen. But it doesn't change what your nature is. It doesn't change who you are. Hallelujah. Amen. I've given someone money before. That is said, the person met me on the road. The person was crying. I want to go from here. That was around Abu Leba. The person said, I want to go to my two. When I walked the journey, was the journey of 1,000 miles. I was like, what do you need? They said 500. I told the person, 500 can't take you to my two. I gave the person 2,000 there. Said, this should take you from here to Oshodi, Oshodi to my two. Right? So I entered the bus coming down to Oshodi. This was years back. That was in 2012. As I entered the bus, I gave her, she was thanking you. When I entered the bus, just let me turn back to see if she will enter bus too. I saw her meeting someone else. The person was giving her money. Because the bus delayed. As soon as she got that person, she turned to another person. Ah! I asked him, this one is business though. I've never experienced that before. This is business though. This is someone's job. I felt like coming down the bus. I looked at it. That's how I gave him. I gave him a free heart. He's there. I think gave to someone again on Friday and the same thing happened. Then he came to meet me and my colleague. And my colleague said, your sister Iran. I'm tired of God. I gave the person money. And I was going off. He went to block another person again. I was like, Well, it wouldn't change who you are. Amen. It wouldn't change who you are. Glory to God. Amen. Do good. Amen. It shouldn't change you. How people use it. Right? It shouldn't change who you are. Help people. Don't start qualifying people based on, but if I know that's what you want to give, I will not give you. Amen. If I know, if I was there, like that lady, if I see her again, I can never. Never, ever. Because it's business you are doing. Amen. Amen. But don't just qualify people from the start. Because never I see her, I'm going to admonish her. So I'm not going to give you. And the reason I'm not going to give you is this. Amen. Then I'm going to get into a conversation with her. I will try and do that. I've done that before. On base. There's one woman that used to stand at that gate. Regular. Around there I called her. I said, ma, how did you use this small child like this? That does not know good and evil to lie. As I said that to her, she just started going forward. Going forward. Where are going forward? I'm not sure I saw her there again for a while. I don't know whether she came back. Somebody, you know when they say your ticket has cut. Amen. Glory to God. But don't start by being judgmental. No. People always hurt you. I say that always. People always hurt you. So get prepared for that. Amen. But you don't stay hurt. Hope you understand. People always hurt you, but you say, I will not be hurt. Say, I will not be hurt. Glory to God. Oh, well, welcome to the other side of the divide. Oh yeah, welcome to the other side of the divide. So that you that usually go to seek for help in everybody, from everybody, welcome coming to deal with you too, but not in our church here. Amen. And also people who just roll out broke SMS to all their contacts on WhatsApp, urgent 2K. I'm dying right now. Ba ba ba. 2K every month. God is going to judge you. Amen. But what I'm saying is, the believer should walk in love. Now, to everyone. Did you see that? Amen. Don't start qualifying people on religious basis. Tribal basis. They are a Muslim. Cannot do my money. If the person needs help. Help. What are you hearing me? Yeah? If the person needs help. And you can help. Help. How's working in love? It's as simple as you are free. You are not doing anything. You're just playing and playing with sand. And someone said, please, go and help me pick that bottle there. Because the person they know, they say, no, I will not go. I will not do it. Someone will not say, do your worst. No. You're not stiff-necked. You are born of God. Amen. The believer should walk in selflessly. What stops you from doing it? Amen. So go and pick it. Go pick it and give. Someone will say, if I go and do it now, they'll be sending me all the time. They'll be sending me all the time. Am I their kind? Did you bomb me? Don't allow the world configure your brain. Okay, everybody. Don't allow this world configure your brain and how you think. Okay, everybody. If you can, if you are in a position to render help, make sure you render help. Don't bring in past grudges. Say, somebody will say, Kama is a... Kama is a believer. Kama is a... So you need my help too. You're in trouble. Say no. No, don't do that. Okay, everybody. Don't do that. Can you do that? Glory to God. Can you do that? Because the person offended you 5 years ago. Let me even use the one matters of the heart. No matters of the heart. No matters of the heart. Amen. How are you guys doing as if you are wearing self-righteousness in your head? You know matters of the heart. Hey, you know matters of the heart. You don't know. God bless your heart. You don't know matters of the heart. You know matters of the heart. Amen. Hey. The brother now left your heart in a vacuum. You don't know matters of the heart. What is matters of the heart now? He left your heart in a vacuum. And you cried all night. And you said, God, my God will judge you. You fasted on that cross. On this cross, you fasted. On this basis, you pray. Lord, show me mercy. Matters of the heart can make people fast. 5 years down the line, you now became an HR personnel. And lo and behold, the CV. The person that is coming for interview, when you are the head of the interview panel, is Nanda brother. You are saying, thank you, Jesus. Only you saw the person you are speaking in tongues. Say, Lord. Lord our God, how excellent your name is. Amen. Why? Because you want to deal with the person. And asking the person things that is not part of the person's course. Better than business at me, asking the person tech. Amen. Can you think you can use technology to drive and to improve on our core values, which will aid the 21st century? Everybody in the panel looking at you, is there anything? Amen. They say, come on, believe in natural thing, come on! They want to show your own back. No. If a person is qualified, irrespective of what the person has done, the person is qualified and it meets all the criteria, and the person is supposed to get the job, give the person the job. Working long. Amen. Amen. Walking. Come on, walking. Is this a feeling or your nature? What if your feeling is against it? Your what? Your nature is superior to your feelings. Thank you. God bless. Amen. Amen. The pastor, yes. Look at something in Romans 12. We'll begin to close shortly. Romans 12. I not finished my note today. Romans 12, 13. Watch this. It says, okay, start with verse 12. It says, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continue standing in prayer. It says, distributing to the necessity of the faith, giving to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. There's that. Giving to hospitality. Amen. You should be giving to hospitality. Now, not all hospitality is what you find in Hebrews. Hebrews. I was supposed to read Hebrews, but I read my reference first. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Hebrews 13, 2. Now, what hospitality is what you call philonexia. Philonexia. Hebrews 13, 2. Watch this. It says, let brotherly love continue. Did not forget you to entertain strangers. That's the word, entertain strangers. Said for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Did you see that? Entertain strangers. It means to be hospitable. The believer should be hospitable. Be hospitable. Amen. Amen. Be hospitable. Glory to God. Be hospitable. Walk in love towards everyone. Walk in love. In Galatians chapter 6, quickly. Galatians 6. It says, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good to who? To who? Let's do good to who? To our village people. Let's do good to who? Are you not there? Let's do good to who? Our village people. Those who show us love. Galatians 6:10. Let's do good to who? You guys are slow opening your Bible. Let's do good to who? All men. Do you see that? Amen. So, you do good to all men. You do what? You do good to all men. Now, let's go further. It now says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, he places importance to those of the household of faith. Now, watch this. It's good to do good to all men, right? But there's an importance now placed. Emphasis now placed on what? Those of the household of faith. Amen. So, should I be nice to everybody? Yes. Right? So when I have an option to be nice to everybody and to believer, I should place the believer first. Amen. Let's see what it means by household of faith. The same word was repeated in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:19. That word household. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Let's open your Bible fast. 19. It says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Watch it. What's that word? Fellow citizens. That word fellow citizens means we are together. Fellow citizen with the saints. That's your family. Fellow citizens. Right? We are from the same country. Fellow citizens with the saints. And that is of the household of God. Hallelujah. Household of God. Hallelujah. So it's speaking of believers that we are the household of God. Believers together. All believers, though, not just the ones in your local church. All believers. All believers. He said we are in the household of God. Household of God. He says we are fellow citizens with the saints. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 1 verse 19. Here's what he calls the believers together. Chapter 1 verse 19. He says, and the saints go out of his power to also do believe according to the working of his power, power which he wrought in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens, the power of principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is in all ages of the darkness of God, put on the all things under his feet and give him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that fill all in all and you. Amen. So that means the household of God, the household of faith is his body. His church. His body. His church. You see that? His body. Amen. 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 What is it? The body of Christ. It means all believers together. Glory to God. We are in the same household. We are in the same family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the people of God. We are in the same family, the same household. So therefore, it is important how we see ourselves and how we relate to ourselves, with ourselves. Scripture places importance on this family. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. They came to meet Jesus, your mother and your brothers are here. He said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? He's not denying the mother as not visible, but he's trying to define who a brother is. A brother is us. Hallelujah. Those who hear his word and do it. We together in the same family. Hallelujah. We're in God's family. All believers. Not just Saint Pavilion Church. Some people think all believers is Saint Pavilion Church. Okay, plus Saint Community Church. If you know, all believers, irrespective of their doctrines, once the person is born again, hope you're hearing me. Let me close that door. As long as the person is saved, we're in the same family. We're in the same family. The same family. You know, you can have a believer who is still going to mosque. Do you know that? But he's saved. She's saved. That person, though the person is going to mosque, but because the person is saved, the person is in the same household. You can have a believer. Listen though. You can have a believer who is still. The person is still a believer. It's the same household. It's the same household. It's just about identification before conduct. Hallelujah. So by identification, we're in the same household. What am I hearing? Amen. 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 Glory to God. Okay, it was to worker that I spoke to about someone in the office that almost cost me my job, and he's a believer, even a pastor, right? There was a worker that I was speaking to. Does that mean the person is no longer a believer? He's still a believer. You can have a believer who defrauded you, he's still a believer. Amen. So, can you see where this teaching is going to? So, how do we relate with one another? It's very vital. Amen. So, how we see ourselves and relate with ourselves is very vital. And I have in my notes, not just members of your local church, but believers in general. Believers in general. And it will also reflect in how we relate to people in our local church also. Amen. Amen. Very vital. How we relate is very vital. Some people have gotten hurt by believers. I've gotten hurt, maybe in a business deal, and the believers dealt with them. Or, yeah, the guy dealt with them who is a believer. And based on that, I've heard people say, I can never do a business deal with a Christian. I've heard such. But that's not supposed to, that is coming from an uncultured person. Amen. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. How should I deal with issues also with believers? With those in my local church? I get into businesses or get to deal with things natural and the natural with a fellow believer and something happened along the way. How do I handle it? How do I handle it? How do I handle relationship in the natural? How do I even relate with believers? As believers. How? Some people only show love, they're only nice to their church members, immediate church members. If you are not church member, you are not, they are not going to be nice to you. No. How do I relate to believers? Amen. Especially those of the household of faith. You do good to them. Amen. You don't withhold goodness. Withhold mercy from them. Amen. Amen. For those who are believers, you go an extra mile. I close with something. How are those in the household of faith called? Acts 1:16. Those in the household of faith, how are they called? How are they referred to? Acts 1:16. It says, men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled. And some of us in Andrews, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, right? Men and brethren. So they are called brethren. Called what? Brethren. Acts 6:3. Called brethren. Acts 6:3. Let us round this up. So pick it up from here next week. Acts 6:3. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye amongst yourselves. Seven men. So refer to us brethren. The word brethren is that Greek word adelphos. Adelphos. A-D-E-L-T-H-O-S. Our therefore. It has its root meaning in the Hebrew word ak. Ak. A-C-H. Ak. It's used for people from the same source. People from the same source. The same womb. From the same womb. Ak. Genesis 4:2. We'll find the word brother. Genesis 4:2. Again, she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of ground. Brother. You see that? Brother. Verses 8. It says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Ark. Brethren. Brother. And now brother there is because they were from the same womb. Womb of E. Did you see that? The same womb, the same source, E. Brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He killed his brother. Amen. Verses 9. And the Lord said to him, where is Abel thy brother? Brother, because they are from the same source. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried out unto me from the ground. Amen. That's a teaching from another day. But in that you'll find a very vital truth about brotherhood. It says to him, where is Abel thy brother? And I said, am I my brother's keeper? So that means the job role of a brother is to keep watch over his brother. It's a job role. I watch over my brother. watch over my brother. I have a duty of care towards my brother. Very vital. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You can also read Genesis 9:22. We're talking about Ham and Canaan. Look at Genesis 13. Another vital truth about a brother. Genesis 13, sorry. You find lots. Okay. Genesis 13:8 and 14. Genesis 13:8, it says, "And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." We be brethren. Isn't that? We be brothers. We are from the same source. Because Lot is Abraham's brother's child. You see that? We be brethren. We be brethren. So Lot is Abraham's, nephew. We be brethren. We be from the same source. You see that? Amen. The same lineage. So when you call a believer brethren, some people call brethren only to their church member, brother, only church member. It's good, but other believers too are brethren. Did you see that? They're brothers. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. How you see them matters in how you deal with them and how you relate to them. Hope you're hearing me. It's not about doctrine. I'm not dealing with doctrine here, but how you relate with believers. So, much more those in your local church. Amen. How you relate to them is very vital. In chapter 14, I'll read this, verses 12 into 16. Verses 12. Now, and they took Lot. Chapter 14, they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And it came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorites, brother of Esau and the brother of Anam, and these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken, his brother, the same source, was taken captive, he hanged his trained servant, born in his own house, 318, and persuaded them to, and pursued them unto Dan. Did you see that? He armed. So his brother has been taken captive. He went to fight for his brother. This is the vital truth about brotherhood. Amen. I will come in where you need my help. I will show up when you need my help. Vital truth. So Abraham went in to rescue Lot. Look at verse 16. And he brought back all the goods and brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. You see that? A vital truth. You go an extra mile for your brother. You go an extra mile to help. You go an extra mile. Hallelujah. Amen. You go an extra mile. The word brother is also used for people from the same country. The same country. You have that in Exodus 3:11. Exodus 4:18. Acts 7, what we read earlier, Acts 7, 23 to 29, Acts 2, 29, Acts 2, 37, Acts 3, 17, Acts 7, 2, Acts 2, 11, 4, 18, 7, 27, 23 to 29, Acts 2, 29, Acts 2, 37, Acts 3, 17, Acts 7, 2. Amen. Amen. And very vital, it is used. From Acts 9, it became prominently used for believers. Acts 9, 17. Saul, who was killing people. Acts 9, verse 17, Saul got converted. And when Ananias got to Saul, he called him Brother Saul. This is that brother Saul. In verse 30, was called brother, the brethren. Amen. Brethren. Was called brethren. So, the word brethren are therefore is used for those of us from the same source. So how we relate with one another is very vital. We'll explore this much more this week. I mean next week. Amen. Explore our source as believers. Our source as believers. And how we have to relate with one another. And then we'll delve into issues. How do we resolve issues as believers? Issues with people from the same local church. Issues with people that are outside your local church. We're going to look at that. How to resolve issues amicably. Hallelujah. Amen. How to resolve issues. And when it evolves, are there consequences for wrong actions? Yes, there are consequences. Why you forgive the person too will bear consequences. Amen. Amen. Someone said, I close like this. Someone said, what if a believer comes to your house with a gun to rob you? And you know he's a believer. And you had an opportunity to call the police. Will you call the police? You have an opportunity to release your dog. Will you release your dog? Or will you walk in love? We'll answer that in this series. God bless you. Amen. We'll answer that in this series. And that will be a bedrock to answering a whole lot of other questions. That will answer a lot of questions. As you answer that question, mark that question. That will answer every other question we have in our hearts. Learn something? We're going to delve into some crucial details from next week. Amen. Amen. Are there consequences for actions? And how should I approach them as a believer? Amen. We trust the Lord, and a whole lot will be made known to us from God's word, and then as we walk with fellow believers, do business well, amicably, and forge ahead. Amen. Learn something? Are you sure? Okay. Share with someone what you